Okay, church, let's stand if you would. Something different tonight. Different, seemingly the same. Same type study format, but we're going to end differently tonight by design. And so this is where I'm at. This is our, as I mentioned, this is our last Wednesday of the year. And by the time you and I get back together again, it's going to be a new year. And you might say, well, what's the big deal? It's just nothing. It's just a year. I understand that. But to God, it's a big deal. There's things about it, which is why we have years. It's why we have seasons. He's big on this stuff. To us, you know, we get out of the bed the same way the New Year's Eve as we do New Year's Day. But God has set for us times and seasons that we are to meter or monitor our progress. And we need to be careful about that. So tonight has everything to do with that. We're looking at a message this evening regarding this topic, and that is cross this Jordan. Cross this Jordan. You see, what do you mean by that? I'm going to ask you tonight to consider this week as we approach Sunday, New Year's Day, that you would adopt it in your mind and in your spirit as though you're crossing the Jordan River. Not the Jordan River, but the Jordan of our time. And we'll see why that's important. But as we read this or get ready to read this, I'm with you on the fact that we're living in this last week, and thoughts will arise in your mind about the year end and the year back and what am I going to do and next year and what does it hold and all of these things. And many things come to our minds when we consider that. Usually for most people, it's a time of some sense of renewed ambitions or commitments. Lisa and I just bought a treadmill. Why? Because we're going to get in shape in 2023. And it's there. The company came, they set it up, and they said, this is how you press start. Maybe I'm going to put a lamp on it or something. I don't know. But there's a sense of change for the better. And so there's the infamous New Year's resolutions. I'm just happy to report, as you well know, that God is not into that as much as real, awesome, radical change. And so Joshua chapter 1, tonight I'll read the odd-numbered verse. If you'll read it out loud, the even-numbered verse, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. I want all of you to hear this. As I said to Moses, by the way, is massive. That is the promised land, and it's yet to be inhabited. Someday it will when Christ returns. Amen. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This is God speaking to Joshua. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. What an encouraging passage that is. That's God speaking to Joshua. Over and over again, you heard him say it. Be strong, don't be afraid, be of good courage. And I've told you often before, the reason why God said that to Joshua is because he was not a man, apparently, that was prone to be encouraged. And quite frankly, he must have suffered from fear and anxiety, or else God wouldn't have wasted his words. Notice that when God speaks to you, he never wastes a word. Everything he says. Now, as we get into this, we know a little background. And I'm going to be doing some sort of devotional type teaching as we look at this regarding the year that's ahead of us. Number one, understand this. Joshua's name is the same meaning as Jesus' name. Same exact meaning. Joshua, it's not a stretch to see that there's a reason why many scholars throughout antiquity have shown us how Joshua is an example or a type of Jesus. The commitment is made. Joshua leads them. They cross over the Jordan River into the promised land, but the promised land is full of warfare. It's full of bad people. It's full of difficulty. It's full of victories as long as you obey God, and defeats when you disobey God. Many songs write this way, that crossing over Jordan is going to heaven. Oh, when I cross over and be in Emmanuel's land. That, listen, going over to Jordan or crossing the Jordan is not going to heaven. It's a depiction of the believer's life. On one side, the children of Israel were under one covenant. Are you with me? When they crossed over the Jordan River, they entered into an entirely different relationship with God. It's amazing. It's awesome. By the way, side note, Jordan, it's two words, Jordan or Yardan. The name Jordan means judgment or descending judgment or a dividing line. That judgment separates the two. And so on one side you have, as it were, an old covenant, and on the other side you have a new covenant led by this one Yahshua. And he leads us into battle. He leads us into warfare. You say, wait, what? If you're a Christian, you ought to know something about warfare, spiritually speaking. And it's a reality. In fact, I think the more you walk with Jesus in this day and age, the more of that you're going to experience. But a little bit of the background, I was reading about the Canaanites today, and it's remarkable. You got to remember, where God is sending Joshua and the children of Israel, they're going into Canaanite land. Pagans are there. You see, now, Jack, I have a problem with that, because isn't it the promised land? Yes, it is. But weren't there people there before Israel? Wasn't it the first come, right? First serve, so to speak? Yeah, that's true. Whoever there is first, unless it's displaced by war or something, yeah, there were people there first. Well, then how can it be Israel's land? Because God promised it to Abraham. You say, well, I have a problem with that. Yeah, I know. So does the United Nations. There were people there first. That's not the point. The point is God says, oh, I have a promised land for you, my children, and you're going to inherit it, and I'm going to lead the way. It's a land that is promised by God to the people of Israel. And the world doesn't understand that. They're not supposed to understand it. They can't. We're talking two different languages here. But you do relate to it this way. Before you were a Christian, what were you? Answer, non-Christian. You were of the world. The Bible says, we're learning in Romans, that you are uncircumcised in your heart, right? But when you became a follower of Christ, your heart was circumcised, and the flesh was removed of your heart, so that you now have a life of the Spirit. Okay? Now watch this. The promised land had to be occupied by the flesh first. Because the promised land has to be circumcised of the flesh before the children of promise can live in it. Amen. It's a picture. It's a mirror. It's not poetic. This really happened. It's a type, but it's a reality. And so when you walk into the new life with Christ, you walk into a life that is circumcised of the carnality of the flesh, and you walk in the Spirit. And from this moment on, when they cross over, everything that they do is a success if they do it by the Spirit of God. If they don't, if they offend God, like Achan did at the Battle of Ai, he wanted to keep a little bit of the clothing and a little bit of the gold and silver for himself and the jewelry. He took the booty from the battle, it said, and he buried it in the bottom of his tent. And then Israeli soldiers started dying in the heat of battle. And Joshua said, "What in the world's going on?" Isn't that amazing to be so close to God that when you start seeing your men die, you know immediately, okay, something's wrong. God is not protecting us. What's up? Retreat. And they retreated only to find out, because Joshua, remember, he threw himself on the ground. He was crying. And God said, "Stand up." You can almost hear God say it. "Stop crying. Get up." And Joshua stands there. Can you imagine this general? And he's standing there. And God says, "There's sin in the camp. Somebody in the ranks of the army have sinned against me. That's why people are dying." God had told them to go in and to take the land. So here's some really amazing stuff. Let's put this up on the screen. It's kind of, it's just absolutely epic. You see that tablet to the right? This tablet, that's not a knockoff. This is one of the oldest artifacts on earth. It's a Canaanite tablet, and it was deciphered in red. And I don't have the time to get into the background, but Phoenician language, Canaanite, and Hebrew language is all wrapped up in this early discovery. Let me read to you what it's about. Discovered in 1828 in what is today northern Syria, this rare collection of stone documents record the pagan worship practices of the Canaanite religion. A dominant element, listen up everybody, of Canaanite worship was the practice of various forms of child and or human sacrifice. We know that from reading our Bibles, don't we? Ritualistic prostitution among both sexes, as well as pedophilia, were a common occurrence even among those of the youngest ages. So brutal, violent, and barbaric were the practices of Canaanite worship that populations were often decimated by various forms of sexually transmitted diseases. You say, how do they know that? Because in fragments of pottery and even fossilized bones, they found those diseases. For these evils, God commanded the Israelites to exterminate the inhabitants of the land. If you ever, pause right there. Have you ever read your Bible when God says, "Now Israel, this particular city that you're going to attack, I want you to take them and displace them and bring them into captivity and they can become your slaves. But they cannot continue to be in the promised land." And they did that. And then another city, a next battle, God says, "Okay, now this city, I want you to go in there and I want you to kill everybody, including the animals, and burn it all." You say, why would God do such a thing? For those of you in the medical world, you know that when you need to kill viruses, germs, and diseases, you've got to autoclave those things, which means burn them at extreme heats to kill or to stop the plague. When you read that in your Bible, remember that, friends. So God says, for these evils, God commanded the Israelites to exterminate the inhabitants of the land. However, Israel disobeyed the command. As the Canaanite religions were tolerated, here's where it comes to our culture today, tolerated and frequently absorbed into the worship of the one true God among the Israelites. Over the years that followed, proved to be the genesis of the spiritual decline, fall, and ultimate dispersion of the nation of Israel. All of this stuff is written in these four, in these tablets, not the dispersion of Israel, but their practices. In other words, written in stone were their very acts of horrific religious sanctioned sexual immorality. In other words, in a nutshell, sex became the religion of the Canaanites until it completely destroyed them. Sound familiar? We're living in an age where that very thing is happening today. So this is what I want to run through tonight. Mark this down. Tonight is going to be a night for us to determine to be a changed or a different people. To be a people separate from this world. In it, yes. Loving those that are in this world, yes. But not loving the world. So number one, cross this Jordan. God is saying to us in this year, as it comes to an end, it's this way. Cross this Jordan. What we now know is important to us. What we now know is this. We now know his faithfulness is certain. Friends, listen. Here's the devotional portion to our message. You know now. Look at you. You're here tonight. After all the things that you and I have gone through these last several years, you've come to the end of this year, and one thing is certain. You are certain more now than ever before regarding the faithfulness of God. God has been faithful. Nobody can deny it. You've hung in there, and he has shown you his faithfulness. He's been faithful to you. Did things turn out the way that you expected? No, none of us expect. None of us could have written this down. This is what's kind of awesome about these trying times, is that clearly we're not in control. But he's faithful. He is so faithful. Consider the pain, the events, the perils, the issues, troubles, trials that God has brought you and I through these last 12 months. And God has been faithful. He has been faithful. Ministries have folded up and closed their doors and vanished. But God was faithful to his word. Churches that have kept the Bible open and their doors open have flourished. What are we to do next with the onslaught now? Somebody just told me right before service that there's many places now in the county of L.A., which they need to learn how to vote in L.A. All of a sudden, there's all the COVID concern in L.A. County. And you see people masking up again, masking up like a mask can stop a virus. What in the world is going on? Here's the amazing thing. I don't know what man's going to do next. I don't even know what I'm going to do next. But I know God's going to be faithful next. He's going to be faithful to you. He's not going to let you down. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe." This is God's word. And listen, Christian, you want to see God do radical things? Take him at his word. Don't walk up to God's Bible all timid and all terrified about it. I wonder, I don't know. Don't walk, listen, in fact, if you walk up to it doubtful and fearful, just don't walk up to it at all. Decide that now, that I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to find God's faithfulness in this book. And he'll be there. Also this, we now know that we have grown deeper. You've grown deeper. Many of you are new. Many of you who have been with us for a long time, you're deeper now than you were a year or two ago. These last 12 months, you've grown deeper. I've watched and I've listened to your conversations change. Your whole view and the value that you've placed on things have changed. God has come through for you. That has caused you to grow deeper. God's word, I guess I'm saying, has come alive to you like never before. You can say now that which you couldn't say a year or two ago, and that is, man, I have such a respect for the Bible now. It is truly alive. God bless you for pursuing him. Did you grow in this year? You want to ask yourself that question. Did you grow? I told somebody the other day, let me see if he's here. He always sits in the same spot. He's not here right now. He was telling me about something. He was lamenting about something. And I said, yeah, well, you know what? I don't think you have to worry about that. He goes, why? I go, because you have grown so much since I first met you. I met you like 2 years ago. And you're not even the same person. And he goes, really? It was so cute. He goes, really? I go, I'm telling you right now. This was our conversation in the foyer this last Sunday. So I'm telling you right now, you're not even the same person. You don't look the same. You don't act the same. You don't talk the same. When I met you, you were a ball of nerves, stressed out. Now you're telling me things like, well, whatever God's will is, I'm good with that. I go, you're not even the same person. That's grown deeper, friends. Difficulties will do that, coupled with the Bible, is beautiful. We've grown deeper. So listen, three basic questions. Did I grow this year? How did I grow this year? And why did I grow this year? You can answer those questions. But I'll tell you what, you've grown. And what Joshua is going to teach us is that throughout the book of Joshua, as you know your Old Testament, is the setting up of memorials, the setting up of markers. Right? There's oak trees. Abraham was fond of building an altar made out of either wood or stone, or making a covenant with God or a promise with God under an oak tree. I don't know where you live, but I live in Chino Hills, and thank God our hills are covered with oak trees, and we've got some amazing, amazing oak trees. And I'm not going to bore you with the length of the story of how Lisa and I made a covenant with God underneath the biggest oak tree, which is the city logo that's on the city. It's massive, and it's incredible, and it's a couple hundred years old at least. But we went to that tree, and we cried out to God. And I want to suggest to you that we get back to doing stuff like that this year to come, this new year. I want you to start setting up memorials. I don't know how we got away from this. We got too busy or something like that, but we need to do it. We need to just start doing it. Mark it down in your notes. This year, I'm going to establish places of memorial. I say memorial. I mean that in the biblical sense. When we say memorial, oh, what's going on? Oh, Fred died. Oh, we have to go to his memorial. Let's go to his memorial. And you drive by and you go to Memorial Gardens. It sounds so depressing. Not in the Bible. A memorial in the Bible is a big deal. It's awesome. You say, yeah, but we're talking about death. Listen, they celebrated when somebody went to be with the Lord. Memorials. We got to get back to them. We need to set up markers, call them milestones, hallmarks, places, historic sites, placeholders if you want. Deuteronomy 27 verse 1 says, now Moses, with the elders of Israel, check this out, commanded the people saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. I love that. Whitewash them with lime. Make the altar stand out. Make it bright so everybody can see it. You shall write on them all the words of this law, then when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, quote, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. Absolutely awesome. Making memorials. This year ahead, I want you to get a journal. So I don't journal. I don't journal either. I don't journal. I should, I don't. But I got to tell you something. My life, if I were to die today, people would go through books that I own and Bibles that I own. I have memorials. They are things that people gave me or pictures that kids, mostly it's pictures that kids or my grandkids have given me. And I've dated them, laminated them, and made them into bookmarkers. I've got thousands of bookmarkers over the years that are my memorials. And I date them and all that kind of stuff. But that's not only that. There's places. Going down Coast Highway, PCH at Orange Street. I've taken my grandkids, and my kids already know. Right over here at these volleyball nets out here at the beach is where I met your mom. Right here. And they know that. And we talk about that stuff. But we need to set up memorials. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I want to show you something about the state of California. We need some good news in California, right? Well, listen, all other states do not have what we have. Okay? On the East Coast of America during this time, there was a raging Revolutionary War. On the West Coast of the United States, the gospel was being presented to the Native Indians. And you see those stops along the way. Look at the top right hand, El Camino Real. That's the King's Highway, showing locations of the 21 famous California missions. There's 21 missions. Okay, but here's the deal. When I say ancient times, in 1769, if you were going to go from San Diego to San Francisco back then, what road did you take? The 5? The 101? The 1? No. You took El Camino Real, the King's Highway. There was only one. You took the King's Highway. And how do you know if you were on the King's Highway? Next slide. This is how you knew. You see that bell? All along the route, these bells were set up marking the route up and down the state. Have you seen these when you've been driving, anybody? Well, that's pretty pathetic. You need to pay it. Stop looking at the traffic in front of you and get out and explore, will you? Look at, as you're going down the highway, look around. And you'll see these. In fact, there's areas even on the 101, where you'll see these still along certain parts where they've been able to keep them or relocate them. That bell announced that you're on the mission trail. And it's the King's Highway. Not the King of England. The King of the Bible. Next slide. That's the one I have in my backyard, by the way. There's another wave of close-up of it, too. 1769, El Camino Real. No, you can get them. I can't tell you how. I'd have to kill you. But anyway, this is California we're talking about. California was dedicated to God. It's the only state in the United States, that the entire, listen, San Francisco, did you know that's a religious statement? Santa Barbara, you ever heard of that place? What about Santa Ana? San Diego? All that, listen, Santa Maria? Exactly, think about it. What's the name of our capital of our state? Sacrament, dedicated to God. What are we saying? We're saying this, that until the Lord takes us home, you and I have a heritage. And God is good, and God once did a great work in this place. He may be done. Maybe he's not done. I'll be hanging around with you until he does whatever he does with us. But could you imagine? What if God wants to do something? He's done something in the past, which leads us to this. We now know our foundation is stronger. Our foundation as believers at the end of this year is stronger. My foundation stronger. Yours is stronger. God has done things in your life and continues. I tell you what, I am so happy to report to you that I get to find out what this church is doing all the time by people who are serving here and things that are going on. You say, Pastor, don't you know everything that's going on around here? No. I do not. It's too much, which is wonderful. I wind up going someplace. What's going on? Oh, that's the call, sharing Christ in that neighborhood. Oh, wow, that's amazing. What's going on over there? Oh, this is a homeless outreach in Pomona. Well, who's doing that? Well, Pastor, are you joking? It's people from your church. I love that surprise. I love the fact that what you're doing it unto Jesus, and you don't need any man's permission to do it. Keep it up. Keep going. This church built an amazing facility with the federal government. It was just completed this year and housed people with no income. Families. And in a matter of weeks, we're going to be now Lord willing, we're going to be doing bus runs, inviting those who live there now to come to church. It's in LA County, but it's close enough to drive them. And it worked out. Listen, the federal government, it worked out so well that now the city of Pomona is asking, will you do it again? Will you build something else in our area to help people? Tell me, listen, that's the hand of God. When the U.S. government gets together with a church and says, can you guys help? It's too much for us. I had a chance to sit in Ben Carson's office when he was Secretary of Housing and Development and announce and to show him what God was doing through you. Now it's out. That's what, you didn't know that, but you've been doing that for like 3 years, building that place. Where does that come from? Foundations built upon God, your faith. It's awesome. It's awesome. Foundations. Our foundations are stronger. I was reminded in some of the reading I was doing that the greater the storms, the deeper the roots of a tree go, and the stronger the tree. Where it's windy and stormy and rough, trees' roots go deep. Foundations. All the stuff you've gone through this year, God had it tailor-made for you so that your roots would go deeper. You say, yeah, but it hurt. I understand. It hurts. It hurts. But you know what? You can get blessed by becoming used to the hurt. You say, I don't like that. Yeah, you do. You know when you go work out, do you? Work out? How do you know you worked out? Because you're sore the next day. And let's be honest, you hate it while you're doing it, but once you do it, it's like, I did it. That comes around. Listen, that pain happens because something good has gone on. Christian, you don't want a rose-strewn path of Christianity. You'll never grow. You'll be a veneer of a believer. I shudder when I meet Christians that have been a Christian for 20 years and they have no spiritual depth. It's just, it's tough. It makes you wonder, you know? So I wrote these things down here, these are true. It's not that I just wrote them down. These are some true things here. Creation teaches us that there's a beauty on the other side of difficulty. One is, for example, the violent upheavals is what creates mountains. So we've been spoiled, right, as we look at these massive mountains that we have right by us. Look, we can go to the ocean tonight or we can go to the mountains tonight. What isn't it amazing? How did that happen? Massive upheaval, 10,000 feet. We got three peaks next to us that exceed 10,000 feet. How does that happen? Tremendous violence of upheaval create awesome beauty. You and I see the beauty and wonder, it just popped that way. No, it didn't. Over the years, your life with Christ will become sweeter, more beautiful, more awesome. And the suffering, Paul sums it up by saying, I revel in it. I revel in it. Because that's when you grow and that's when foundations are there. And listen, it's torrential floods that create Grand Canyons. And you love the Grand Canyon? Oh, it's so beautiful. Well, it's a pretty violent event. Did you know that thunderous lightning strikes purifies the air we breathe? Without lightning, there'd be polluted air. Did you know that? One lightning strike, I forget the number, but it's like 10 to the 28th power of molecule space where a lightning strike purifies the most filthy, polluted air in a nanosecond. Isn't that amazing? God does that. I know that freaks out some people. The planet needs us. Number two, what we leave behind. What we leave behind, number two. What we leave behind is important. Our old battles, we need to leave behind in this year. 2022, our old battles, we need to leave them behind. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Listen, I love this. So practical. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And when a soldier's going off to battle, he does not have an Xbox, a basketball, and a tennis racket. Ain't gonna happen. He's not only not interested in that stuff anymore, it plays no role. Old battles. Why do I say this? Because let's leave them to this year. The battles that you and I have gone through, we leave them in the history books of God. Whatever those battles might be, mental, physical, relational, financial, doesn't matter. We leave it with him. Number two, we leave behind our old victories or our old wins. What do you mean by that? Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 2 Thessalonians 3, 13 say, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." You guys, I have to hold this back a little bit. You guys have not only done good, in some areas you've done so good. So good that what you've done in the influence of community and beyond has been so precious that I know that in eternity you're going to hear about it. You have to. You will. You will. You don't know what you have no idea what you're doing right now in performing surgeries and setting bones and getting blood transfusions to people in other parts of the world, but you are. There's things going on where you've been so effective at changing or affecting your culture that what you've been doing, others have been asking, "Can you come and do it here?" But with all of that, you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to settle in on your victories or on your wins. You don't want to do that. As a Christian, listen, Christians, we need to be lean, mean, praying machines. God help us if we say, "Remember that year? It was about maybe a few years ago when God was moving. Oh, that was something." Wait a minute. If I hear that, I'm going to be the first one to leave this place. I don't want to talk about what God did only in the context of let's tell our kids and our grandkids what God did. But if we look back and we see more glorious days and we settle back and put our heads behind our back and say, "Wow, that was great." No. Not interested in that. Let's push all the way through, because God who did something then is a God who's doing something now. And if he did it then and if he does it now, then he's going to be doing it in the future. And that's where you're going to want to be. We want to leave behind our old losses too, you guys. We need to refuse to let defeat and emotion capture us. Anybody remember John Wooden? Five of us do. John Wooden said, "Failure isn't fatal, but failure to change might be." I love that. That's so great. Anybody ever read the book, Who Moved My Cheese? Yeah? It's not a Christian book, but it's brilliant. You ought to read it. Who Moved My Cheese? People can't function if there's been a change. Wait. It's all about these mice. And our cheese is gone. So like three mice sit there and starve to death. And one mouse says, "You guys are crazy. I'm going to go look for some cheese." And he looks around and finds out what's going on next. Don't let your losses defeat you. Well, you don't know the divorce I went through. You don't know the surgery I went through. Don't let it define you. God knew all along. He got you through it. He'll get you through it. Things are different now. Of course things are different now. We live in a fallen world. Just don't stand there and wait till you die, or you die of old age, or the rapture happens, or, you know what I'm saying? Listen to what Thomas Edison, you know, Edison, young people. Thomas Edison invented a thing called a light bulb. Thomas Edison said, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. No wonder why the guy invented the light bulb. You can't stop an attitude like that. Well, the Bible answers that in Philippians 3:13. The Bible says, brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, don't settle for anything and don't be defeated and don't give up. Point number three, what we carry over. In context of the Jordan, in a few days we're going to be crossing over the Jordan into a new year. We carry over what we've always had, and that's His presence. The Lord told Israel on this side of the Jordan, I'm with you. And He said, cross over, I'll be with you. And when you get on the other side, I'm going to be with you. I love that. Where can you go where God is not? He's everywhere. His presence. You're going to be carrying His presence over. He'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what He told Joshua. I can't wait to talk to Him someday. You're going to meet Him. And we're going to have perfect knowledge, so we won't have to be saying, excuse me, can you point out Joshua? Which one's Joshua? You're going to know who He is. The Bible says that we will know even as we are known. Wow. I'm going to walk up Joshua. I'm really curious. Was I right when I told the church at Chino Hills that in chapter one, you're really prone to fear and you didn't have courage and you were kind of timid about stuff? And He's going to say, totally. Jack, God had to tell me that all the time. Going into battle, all the stuff that was going on, the enemy, they were 9 feet tall. They were terrifying. And on top of it, they're all diseased. And, man, so many times I thought we were going to die. We were so outnumbered by the thousands. I freaked. And then God, I remember, He said, Joshua, do not turn to the right hand or to the left. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. And I remember when General Boykin of the U.S. Delta Force, U.S. Army Delta Force, was talking to L.A. County Sheriff's Department. And I had a chance to drive him to that engagement. I'll never forget it. He's talking to all these deputy sheriffs and he's telling them, fear is how you stay alive. You need to be fearful. That's what keeps you safe. But you also have to advance in the face of fear. That takes courage. Courage and fear are always present, one with another. Did you know that? I didn't know that till he said that. It didn't dawn on me. He said, there are those who fear and retreat. There are those who fear and take courage. Say, what is courage? He said. He said, courage is fear under control. That's good. Because all of a sudden, that relates to all of us, right? That's awesome. I love that. Now, I'm going to ask you to practice this year the presence of God. Press into Him and lean into Him more and more. How about this? I know we're out of time, but Psalm 23, you all know this. The Lord, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. These are your marching orders for 2023. The Lord's your shepherd. You shall not lack anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know what that is? Do you know what the shadow of death is? Do you think, listen, I tell you what it's not. You know, when you breathe your last breath and you die, you do not go through the valley of the shadow of death to get to heaven. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Are you guys awake?
Yes.
You do not do that when you die. David is telling you that living in this world, you're passing through the valley of the shadow of death and leading up to the moment where we're released from these bodies. That's when we're set free. You're done going through the valley. Some people have said, you know, when I die, then I got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Dude, you got that all cockeyed backwards. We're going through the shadow of death now, all the way to the moment we breathe our last, then we've made it. Woohoo! I mean, listen, on the way out, when we're breathing our last breath, I would hope to have enough strength to say, yippee! See ya! Because I made it through on the other side. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That is God disciplines you, and he comforts you at the same time in this relationship. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And here's the punch. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Very quickly, we carry over his memorial beginning now in this coming new year. As I said earlier, start thinking memorials, start thinking territory, start thinking advancing, start thinking of marking places for God. Your neighborhood, you're there for a reason. You're on that street for a purpose. You're in that situation because God's got you on a mission right now. And you need to remember that. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 7:12. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far, that is up until this point, the Lord has helped us. I love that statement. It's not like God's helped us. He's helped us get here so far. Don't know about the rest of the way. That's not what he's saying. He's reminding Israel, God started out providing. He's provided all the way to this moment. He's faithful. You can bank on the rest of the future. And then finally this. We carry over his promises. Immerse yourself this new year in promises. Memorize them with your family. Give them to your kids. Have your kids give them to you. Saturate yourself in the promises of God. Watch how powerful they are. Proverbs 3 verse 1 starts, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, or my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. What's wrong with that? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Listen to the intentionality of this. Do you hear this? Take these great things and tie them around you. Wrap yourself in them. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, that is, be in awe of him and depart from evil. One more here. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. And Ezra opened the book, and in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. That's what I'm doing. That's where we get this whole tradition from. I'm standing above you guys. Why? Ezra did that. They built a pulpit and a podium, and he stood and he read the word of God to the people. And all the people stood before all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Okay, so everybody stand up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Amen. So I want you to listen. Everyone be, I want you to be real quiet. Let's stand in silence right now. I want you to clear your mind the best you can. Quietly think now, clear your mind. I want you to ponder what God might be saying to you. If you need to close your eyes, do that. Maybe it's best. If it's possible, if you could lift your head toward heaven, but no, don't fall over anything. I know your eyes are closed, but if you could lift your head up. I'm going to ask you now, if you would, to lift your hands. All of us. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
King of kings and Lord of lords,
King of kings and Lord of lords,
our eternal Father,
our eternal Father,
we thank you for giving us your Son,
we thank you for giving us your Son,
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, who lives and abides in us. Tonight, I dedicate my life to you. In spirit and in truth.
I commit myself to you.
And from this moment forward, and to this new year, I choose to worship you.
With my life.
By how I live.
And in all that I say and do.
I dedicate my hands.
To do your work.
I dedicate my eyes.
To look upon what pleases you.
I dedicate to you my thoughts.
To think upon what is holy.
Just and good.
So that we might be a pure people.
Undefiled.
And useful.
That we might be fit.
To be used by you.
We determine now.
To seek you.
And your guidance.
We trust you to be our source of wisdom.
And with our bodies we yield
to be at your service.
We vow tonight to present ourselves as living sacrifices.
We separate ourselves from this world
to live for your kingdom,
to bring you praise.
And so we vow.
This night,
to love you,
with everything we are.
Heavenly Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you'd bless these people. Lord, that you would take this word that we've spoken to you, Lord, and that you'd come upon us with the baptism power of your Holy Spirit. Yes. Heavenly Father, I ask you to come upon this church. Every aspect of it, Father, including those precious ones that are so far away in other parts of this nation and of this world. Lord, we pray, I pray, Father, upon them, that you'd bless them and that you'd keep them. Yes. That you'd make your face to shine upon them. Yes. And be gracious unto them, Lord, that you'd lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. Father, we pray this together and we end this year with you, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.